Apologies to those people who don't speak English. This was a little clip that we made together to show the state of our church members, where they are and what they're doing. There are quite a number of people who have struggled through the loss of loved ones, and also they themselves suffering from the illness. And we are thankful to God that we have family who are taking care of each other, not only the blood-related family members, but also the family of faith who are coming together to be strength to each other. May is Family Month. Next four Sundays, we are going to be spending talking about family matters. Both education and adult ministry will be going through the same subject, and the children will have assignments, and it will demand parents' participation, and this is the perfect time to re-examine and rebuild the relationships. Spending close to 2 months with our children at home, many are beginning to put family distancing, not only social distancing. And I hope that this time will be a time that we can spend not just focusing on family distancing, but also family intimacy that we need to truly have in our household. Because when we go back to our normal routine, it will be difficult to spend this much time with our family members. So let's think of this time as a blessing in disguise to rebuild our homes. Rebuilding comes when we're willing to change, when we're willing to tear down things that are not supposed to be there and build up things that need to be built up and mend the things that need to be mended. I'm sure that as we discuss the family matters, there are some of you who feel hopeless, helpless, and even depressed. And if we rely on our will and determination and looking at our present situation, you may feel that way. But listen to what God says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. God can make all things possible. God wants to heal the brokenhearted, broken relationships, broken homes. And he wants our homes to be a little piece of heaven, a place where we can go to find joy, to find oneness. That's what God had intended for family to be. Before we dive into the expecting this big change in our household, we need to have a few facts straight. We need to realize that the secret of kingdom of God lies in small things, in humble things, little things. If we can have our way in whatever we do, we like to make it big. If we want to impress someone, you give a big celebration, big gift. If you want to impress your parents, you buy them a nice house, and they will be very happy. If you want to make your children happy, you buy them a nice car. That will really bring excitement to their lives. However, our God is not impressed in big things. The kingdom of God begins to happen in small things, in things that seems like it's insignificant to many people's eyes. Just take a look at the life of Jesus. His life began here on earth, inside the womb of an unmarried woman. When he was born, there was not even a proper room available. He was born in a manger. Out of all the rich and famous parents that he could have had, God chose carpenter as his father. Out of 30 years that he lived here on earth, only 3 years were spent in ministry. And his followers, whom he picked, handpicked as disciples, they were not great people. They were people at the margin. They were poor peasants. Only 12. And the 12 spent 3 years going through discipleship training. And I feel like, you know, Jesus could have done way more people discipling them, yet only 12. For 3 years, and one betrayed. And when he died with nothing. His disciples, except John, came to see him die at the cross. Well, this was how Jesus began his life and how he ended. And he doesn't expect big, huge, kind of impressive stuff in our lives as well. And sometimes, when we look at our own lives, when we bring changes and we want to really impress God, we feel like we are so small, we are so insignificant, we're not worthy of bringing pleasure to God. Well, not in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, no matter how small or insignificant you may feel, God's standard, you were made perfect. You are God's masterpiece. The Bible claims it. Galatians 3:28 says this, There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Though we may outside look different, though we may be in different circumstances, God made to be for us to be one. Jesus was doing important stuff of ministering to adults. And there were children who were coming to listen to Jesus, to spend time with Jesus. And disciples, knowing that Jesus was doing something important, they try to kind of shoo away the children. And this is what Jesus said to the disciples and to the crowd. And he says this in Matthew 18:3-5. I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. Jesus was more focused upon the ones who were little, weak, helpless. Are you still not convinced that you are worthy of something to God? Listen to what God says in 1 Corinthians 1:27-29. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. You see, God chooses each one of us, even though we may feel like we're not worthy, we're shortcoming of many things. God chooses us because of not our strength, but because of our weakness. So at the end, we will not boast saying that I was great, my strength and my greatness made this happen. God wants to take the credit. Don't be mistaken to think that God wants big stuff from me. No. Matthew 17:20 says this, I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. You see, God is interested in small things, even our faith. Small faith, it may seem like, oh, this is not even faith. Like a mustard seed, there is power. Even in our act of kindness to others, he wants us to start with something small, something that may appear insignificant to others. Today in the video, we heard just a statement of our church members who went through this hardship, who were helped in so many different ways. People bringing medicine, people bringing soup, people bringing food for the family, little things, yet that moved her heart. That really brought tears and joy to her life. And imagine how happy God would be knowing that his children are caring for each other. This is what he says in Matthew 25:35-36. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. All these things that this person is saying you did for me is something that's doable. Giving food to the hungry, giving drink to someone who's thirsty, giving something to wear someone who is going through some, you know, just the freezing temperature, visiting, and just comforting each other. We tend to think, once I make it big, once I have more, once I build on my life, once I get there, I will do it. Well, don't wait until win the lotto. Be faithful now in small things and small ways. So many followers of Jesus are making this grand statement that one day I will die for the Lord. But the question is this. Yeah, we may die for the Lord, but right now, today, at this moment, can you live for the Lord, being faithful to the little things that he has called you to do? Pastor Fred Craddock, he pastored a church for a long time. And in one of his sermons, this is what he says. To give my life for Christ appears glorious, he said. To pour myself out for others, to pay the ultimate price of martyrdom, I will do it. I'm ready, Lord, to go out in a blazing blaze of glory. We think of giving our all to the Lord is like taking a $1,000 bill and laying it on the table. Here's my life, Lord. I'm giving it all. But the reality for most of us is that he sends us to the bank and has us cash in the $1,000 for quarters. And we go through this life putting out 25 cents here and 50 cents there. Listen to the neighbor's kids' trouble instead of saying, get lost. Giving up a cup of water to a shaky old man in a nursing home. Usually giving our life to Christ isn't glorious. It's done in all those little acts of love, 25 cents at a time. It would be easy to go out in a flash of glory. It's harder to live the Christian life little by little over the long haul. Even in today's message, the story of talent, master gave different amounts of talents to three servants before going away somewhere. Two were faithful and diligent, but the third did nothing. And here's what the master says to the faithful two servants who brought back what were given to them. They just multiplied double and brought it back. And this is what it says. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. So I'm going to be putting in charge of more things and greater things. You see, the master says to the talent, to the servant who had five talent and the two talent, and they doubled it. This wasn't a small amount of money. It was a huge amount of money. And to them, it says, you've been faithful with a few things. What is a few thing that they were faithful to? They were faithful to the obedience, to the command, and to the heart of the master. You see, faithfulness in small things lead to greater things. There's another parable in the Bible, parable of mustard seed, represents our faith. And that parable says pretty much this thing. Little faith plus big God equal huge results. My little faith plus big God equal huge results. My little faith alone cannot do anything, but combined with God, big God gives huge, huge results. Don't get this reversed. We like to read this verse backwards sometimes. Sometimes we read it this way. If we have faith like a mountain, you can move a mustard seed. As if it takes an enormous amount of faith and a great people to do very little task. That's not what it says. Bible is full of stories of small, insignificant, marginal, neglected, unimportant people doing some extraordinary things. That way, there's nothing to boast about themselves but God. Look at in Old Testament, Gideon. He led an army of Israel to defeat the Midianites, who had invaded Israel with an army of 135,000 people. 135,000 people. God told Gideon to form an army. And guess how many people showed up? 32,000 people showed up. Well, 135,000 versus 32,000. There's no way that they're going to win. I'm sure Gideon was depressed and having 32,000 versus having to face 135,000. God commands him to shrink the army to 300. 300. And he obeyed. He had no one else but God to trust. And they won. Looking at life of Gideon, would Gideon say, well, I did it? No way. Gideon couldn't say I did it because it was all God. It was all God because mathematically there was no way that they could overcome the adversaries. Yet, God did it. Look at the life of Moses. He was stuttering, insecure, apprehensive kind of guy. He just wanted to live a quiet, uneventful life. So he was just shepherding his sheep, and when God called him, he thought he was too little for the job. He was inadequate for the job. And he kept on refusing, and God kept on saying, it's not about you, it's about me. Yet he kept on saying, I cannot do it, I'm not good enough. God knew that, and he found the perfect man. Moses was a man, because if something big happens, Moses couldn't say, this is me. And he used Moses to deliver people of Israel out of Egypt into promised land. David was a pretty small boy, but he went and defeated Goliath. Goliath, he was a warrior. He was a giant. There was no way you could defeat Goliath. Yet David did. And I'm sure David wouldn't say that I did it. How about the lunch of a little boy? Jesus was giving a sermon, and it was past the meal time, and there were so many people, everyone was hungry. Yet this little boy brings his own lunch, 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. I guess it's good enough to make fish burgers. McDonald's got their, you know, fillet of fish, I guess, from this story. No matter how small, this little boy's lunch fed a multitude, over 10,000 people. Look at 12 disciples of Jesus. Looking around, they were just all misfits. They were just, you know, not worthy of making big changes, even in their own lives. Yet, when they trusted God, we received gospel because of their faithfulness. God is not demanding something big from us. Little commitment, little obedience, small things, little things, God can make miracle. I read this story about a little boy, 5-year-old boy, who after hearing the sermon on the need of Bible in the land of India, this boy decided to give his all. He had 1 penny. He gave 1 penny. A pastor looking at this 1 penny and his desire to wanting to send a Bible to India, thought it was cute and decided to add on to that penny and buy a New Testament Bible. The boy signed it and sent the Bible to India. And this boy forgot about it, and the pastor forgot about that event. 20 years later, the boy was, I guess, 25. When the pastor went to India for a visit to a village, he realized that all these people were already believers. There was a church that was thriving. And the pastor asked the question, how did the gospel begin in this village? And they told a story about a missionary coming there and giving them 1 New Testament Bible. And that Bible became the seed for the evangelization of the village. And they brought that Bible. It was all worn out. It was all dirty because so many people looked at it. And as the pastor was flipping the pages, on the last page, there was a signed name of a 5-year-old boy from his church 20 years ago. Who are we saying that little commitment, little change, little kind deed doesn't produce miracles? You see, when we change, obeying the word of God, obeying the command of God, big things happen. And big things happen not only in my life, but it brings benefit to the people around me. When you focus on little things, no matter how insignificant you may feel, God has a way of making that things beautiful in his time. In the parable of mustard seed, at the end, this is what it says, that the birds, that it grew into a tree, and the birds of the air came and its perches, and it rested in that perch. What happens when change comes? Other people benefit. Last Sunday, I gave a sermon about Noah, how his faithfulness and his obedience, that benefit went to his family members, going into the ark and saving their lives. You see, little changes that happen in our own lives, in our household, brings miracles. When husband change, wife is blessed. When wife changes, husband is blessed. When children change, parents become blessed. You see, when we respond to the call of obedience, then somebody will benefit from it. Success in life is founded upon the attention to the small things rather than the large things. Every day we face a lot of big things, but we need to pay attention in small things. For next, now 3 more Sundays, we're going to be talking about paying attention to our habits and to our thoughts and to our language. Bringing little changes will have an just amazing effect upon the people around us. We are at home. All of us are at home. And I hope that this will be not a stressful time, a time of growth, a time of caring, a time of intimacy. That spending time like this will not happen again in the future. This is truly a blessing in disguise to all of us. As we pay attention to the few things that we can change in order to make things better. When we make the commitment, God is going to make all things beautiful in his time. May God bless each one of us and our household as well. Let's pray. God, thank you for being our God, God who not only sent each one of us to this earth, but gave us family to journey together. Lord, we desire to bless each other rather than being a stress to from each other. Lord, may we learn to change for the better. My thoughts, my language, and my habits, may they be pleasing to you. And even though they may be small changes, in your hand, we know that you will bring big changes in our household. God, help us and work within us and through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.